Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go again. It's your mom's favorite podcast, the 1973 podcast. We got a special guest this week. We've been trying to get him on for a while, as everybody. Take to mom, twisting, greasing some palms. Right below
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
right
it cost
now.
Me an arm and a leg. I was able to negotiate.
Oh, boy, Raymond.
Oh, shit.
Raymond has checked in. Good. Ray, before we get going, tell everybody on the podcast and everybody watching at home how we know each other and how you know a couple guys on the podcast, and maybe a quick little backstory on the old hookaroo.
Yeah, probably the oldest is you and I, as far as going back. East Verhaven School, East Verhaven, Hamlet Homes, growing up. One of the first people I played hockey with was you. You know, and then I left East Verhaven School. I came back. Then we ended up back together in fifth grade with Miss Messier. And and it just started from that. It was always hockey that drew us back together. You know. So.
Hey, a little quick backstory on the old hookaroo.
Yes, sir. What happened? I was electrocuted. I was electrocuted, yeah. 14,800 volts. Went in my hands and on my foot.
Damn.
Sorry, Ray. We'll probably get to that, when a little bits and pieces, but glad to have you on. And
thank you.
So,
and again, I'm sorry it took so long to get here.
You're here now, so we're just looking for a bubbly personality and maybe story about electricity every now and then.
Okay. It'll be shocking, I promise.
He has an electric personality.
Very good, Bradford.
He's always getting banned on Facebook.
I applaud that.
So, high five, buddy.
Before we get going, too, yeah. I want to wish a member on the podcast, he's not 50 yet, Shaggy, happy birthday. Today's the birthday, so might as well get that party started.
Thank
that
you,
old
gentlemen.
Forrester.
Today's
happy
party,
birthday.
Today's party, old Forrester, boys.
Damn.
I got my own rocks.
He went big for the birthday.
So, Ed, before we get going with the email, I want you to explain, we touched on it last week, and something was going on last week. He was a little bit upset.
Ed was a bitch.
Ed, stop being a bitch and talk about the billboard.
Well, I mean, so this has been under construction behind me for quite some time. Finally, through the miracles of modern technology, it has finally come to fruition. So the space behind me is for rent. So,
oh my God!
Is that
how much
the space
are we
behind Gary Bettman's ears?
I mean, if it's Gary, then he better be coming with at least six zeros at the end of the number. You know,
how much are we charging the people that want that space? That just give us a view, a like, and a subscribe.
Yeah, or $25 a week, depending on who you are. For the price of an OnlyFans membership, you can rent space behind Ed's head.
I don't know. Ed might have to show his feet or some skin or something.
His bills.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah, whatever takes this thing to the next level. Then
they
maybe
might have to show the backside of his ball sack for $25 a month.
Damn. Man, you guys like pimp me out. Like, I'm a little bit more than that, you know? Damn.
Okay, less ball here.
Yeah.
Trim it up. Get a shave.
You can only see the front. You can never see the back.
Yeah, shaving a haircut, buddy. Come on.
Ed, take it away.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies. Essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everybody. Sorry. All right.
Sounds like the rain of flea market.
Us, your favorite person. Each piece is made with top-notch quality and timeless style you crave. Perfect for lounging around the house or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves. Faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And 1973 t-shirt store on YouTube, just click the link below. All right. I mean, you can probably, you know, if we wouldn't get, you know, copyright infringement from Sharon, you know, we could be playing some Ozzy in the background here for changes. But, you know, we don't have that kind of budget. So this, and, you know, and I reference that for a reason. So this is from James from Tenby, Wales. Okay. So changes. Hello, 1973. Question for you guys. If you could go back and start all over again, what would you do different? Just found your podcast, and I think you guys do a great job. Pretty funny group. Very entertaining.
Positive email, Ed. Not like the one we got 2 weeks ago.
What's that now?
A positive email, not like the one we got two weeks ago.
It was very positive. I mean, you know, from across the pond, I mean, it was nice to get some, some positive, like, feedback. You know?
Not Wales, Massachusetts?
No.
Okay.
So I want to start with Ed, because Ed never really starts off the email answer, but Ed, you've been here since the start, so if you could go back and change anything, what would you go back and change?
You learn and get better. So I really wouldn't want to change everything, and I really like the fact that we've been having, like, a lot of our friends come on as guest appearances and that type of thing, and it's been great. It's been great to kind of reconnect with everybody, you know, break each other's balls every now and again, you know. I always seem to be the brunt of the joke, but I can take it because, you know, I can take it, you know. A lot of these other people here on the panel, they get a little sensitive if you turn it around on them. Just saying, you know. So I keep my mouth shut. You know, I can fire back, but I don't, because I always tend to hurt people's feelings when I do.
Well, Ed, you haven't scared anybody away yet. Unlike
proof of life, they're being signed this very moment. I can't wait to get them and rep that shit on this podcast. It's gonna be legit.
Like, can't the shirt, wait. Right?
Huh?
Like the t-shirt.
Hey, dude. Ironically, I think I bought this the day before James Earl Jones died. I was like, oh, we got a Star Wars shirt. Bye. Next day, James Earl Jones died. I was like, oh, fuck me.
The James is it.
Bradford, I want to ask you, since you've come on the podcast, what would you change since you started?
I like our format. I like that I don't know words. I'm in Mississippi, guys. I don't fucking know. I don't have a vocabulary down here. We do a lot. We have tinfoil hat, cooking with Chris. We do some sports talks. I think we get a little long-winded sometimes when we get deep into sports stuff. And I love that we talk wrestling, sports. We got a round table. You know, people don't like it when we're talking picks, or they don't like it when you guys talk hockey. Fast forward to the parts you like, because we got plenty of options in the hour.
You're going to need to stop talking about yourself about the hockey part.
When I watch back, I'm like, hockey. But I will say this, since the Cowboys suck, your boy might be jumping on this Dallas Stars bandwagon.
There you go. There you go.
I need something to cheer for, guys. I'm in the dumps right now.
Hey, listen, I could throw a bunch of stuff out. You know, there's a lot of things that I really love about the podcast. The thing I love the most is just being with the guys, chirping, getting some good banter going, laughing. Especially I get a kick out of it when somebody pops me and makes me laugh. You know, like a couple weeks ago with Ed reading that email, I was roaring. You know, there's just these little subtle things that you know, make me laugh. I don't laugh any harder than on the podcast most of the time, especially when somebody comes up with something out of the way. I tried right from the rip to get everybody on, and, you know, I know everybody's schedule is different, but it's fun just to get together on a Saturday night, especially in the wintertime when things start to slow down. And exactly. Well, not really socially for me, but socially on this, it's great to get everybody together, see the faces, and hopefully around that 100th episode, we'll be able to get everybody on for one big laugh fest and do like another best of, and hopefully Shaggy and the Phantom and Ray, they'll have some more episodes that they've been on, and we can talk about favorite moments like we always do at the anniversaries, and then from episode 100 on, we'll probably just do it at 200 or 150 and kind of make those anniversary episodes more, you know, spread out and go from there. But, you know, we're working on 100 episodes. It's going to be great. I'm going to go to the professor, who is the voice of reason, the stats guy, Thomas, changes. What would you do?
Well, first, my Spidey senses kind of tingled when I got this email because James doesn't know how to spell Wales. So I'm having a little bit of doubt on whether or not this email actually came from Wales or not. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I guess changing anything, I think I'd piggyback off what you said and just have the whole crew here from the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. I'll just ask the Phantom real quick. Since you've been on, Brankowitz, any changes you would make?
No, I don't think I'd change anything, to be honest. I don't know if everybody knows, when you guys were first coming up with the concept, it was like you guys asked me to be, there was going to be the four of us. And I was like the one that was like, nah, don't do it. I ain't doing that. You're crazy. So, the three ended up going on and doing it without me, which was fine. But because I didn't do it, then, you added Brad and you added Chris. And who knows, the whole show might be different if I had joined. And it would just be just the four of us. And we would never have to the point where it is now. So I wouldn't change the thing.
So, see, one door closes, another one opens. That's
how doors work.
Yeah.
That's
so
terrifying that you said that, Phantom. That's terrifying.
Cowboys fan violence. Look at that. Speaking of Cowboys fans.
Cowboy violence. Wow.
Somebody else on this podcast I remember is a Cowboys fan. Yeah. Could you raise your hand? Raymond.
Yeah. Raise your hands.
Yes. Yeah, since 1978. I've seen him good, bad, good. And my personal opinion, the only thing that's going to help them is Jerry Jones either selling the team or just all out dying. Serious, because he tries to do everything. And my opinion, I don't think he's smart enough. Mm-hmm. He's trying to run it. I mean, people can say what they want about Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but Kraft is, he bought the team as a fan, had a shitload of money, let everybody do what they did, and he put the right, and he just sat there and signed the checks. That's in my opinion, what an owner should do. And Jerry Jones, he's screwing him right into the ground.
I heard Jerry Jones is a big podcast.
Yeah, he tuned in last week.
We'd love to have you on.
Jerry, I'll give you my number.
The difference between Jerry and Robert Kraft, though, is Jerry has a son, and there is a bloodline to inherit and continue the bullshit.
Kraft,
as far as I know,
Jonathan. He has a kid.
There's a lot of kids.
But they're not involved with the team, right?
Yeah.
Oh, are they? Oh.
His son sits next to him every game.
Take out Cowboy blinders.
Yeah, they're screwed. I mean, Stephen Jones is the one making all these executive decisions, trading Amari Cooper for a fifth-round draft pick. That was Stephen Jones. So that, if Kraft is got the same bloodline issues, yeah, both teams are screwed.
Let's, before we get into the sports talk, as we're segueing into, we're going to stop with this email, great email, and talk Vince McMahon episode 3. So this is the timeline between the steroid trial and the red hot screw job. Kind of, this is right before the boom again of the Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon character kind of bleeded out of this. I'm going to go to the Phantom. Thoughts on the Vince McMahon episode 3?
I mean, once again, it kind of rolls into what we've been saying for the first two. Not a whole hell of a lot that we didn't already know. It's more of, let's go back in history. Maybe you kind of forgot about something you hadn't really thought about. And then, maybe you get some thoughts off of it. Like, I kind of like when they were talking about, they get into, the curtain call. And with, Triple H is the only one you're not going to touch, Shawn Michaels, because he's the champion. The other two guys are leaving, so it all falls on Triple H to eat shit or what have you. But from that, the fallout from that was he was supposed to win that King of the Ring. Now, if that doesn't happen, now Austin ends up winning King of the Ring, and he goes on to have, the famous promo with the 316 and all that. So if that hadn't happened, who knows if we end up with the Austin 316, because that kind of was, got him off on the trajectory there.
Raymond, I'm going to go to you. I had mentioned that we were going to kind of review the Vince McMahon stuff.
And I actually forgot to watch it, honestly.
Attaboy. Attaboy. I know it, Brett. You're on
for Lauren the bar right off the bat.
He fits right in with the rest of us.
I just want to ask you thoughts on old school wrestling, Vince McMahon. Just what do you?
Oh, I love the old school 80s, 80s, 90s. And then after that, to be honest, I just sort of lost interest.
Vince McMahon as a character, though. What do you think of Vince McMahon as a person with all this stuff that's come out about him?
He's got a lot of money to cover everything up, for one, which it's going to end up coming down to if anything, probably a fine, but.
Thomas, thoughts on episode 3?
There's like Ryan said, there wasn't much didn't know about that they came out with, but one thing I didn't realize was the reason he stopped doing the billionaire Ted skits was because the woman who was the founder of USA Network was friends with Ted Turner and told him to stop. And I didn't know that he had asked Nash and Hall to get in the skits and they said no. And it turns out, they didn't really say why, but the reason they didn't was because they knew they were leaving. But the only other thing that was really I didn't really realize was that Bischoff had auditioned for the WWF and going to the what ifs. What if they had signed him? Would WCW have ever had that streak that they did with what was it, 86 weeks or some ridiculous number of weeks they beat them in the ratings? So those were the two things I took away. Plus, the one big thing that I was, how much of a hypocrite McMahon is with whining about Ted Turner stealing all the talent when that's all he did in the 80s, stealing guys that he looked bad on that one.
Yeah, he did. Shaggy, thoughts on the episode?
Yeah, I'm going back to the Wendy Richter spider match. I think Fellas Moolish or mask her whole career. She looks like a goddamn farmer tied to the back of a tractor and plowing the field with her face.
Jesus.
Hey, I watched that Dark Side of the Ring. She's a freaking madam in a whorehouse, freaking using all those poor little wrestlers. She's a horrible person.
Damn. I don't know if I've seen that episode.
I mean, old folks are just talking a lot of truth.
Spit it out, baby. Spit it out.
Bradford, thoughts on episode 3?
What? Yeah, he's making another one. That's his third one since we started.
Happy birthday. The bottle's
almost empty.
What do you got, Brad?
Not a lot that we haven't seen in Who Killed WCW. I did make the boy sit down and watch the Montreal Screwjob. I was like, look, dude, there's a lot of wrestling history. We can't continue to be this wrestling family if you don't know the Montreal Screwjob. So I made him watch this. It's Bret Hart. Here's a Hart Foundation. Here's Owen Hart. He fell from the rafters. He died. It was sad. Somehow he already knew about that. I guess YouTube. But I was like, look, man, this was a very controversial match. But watching it back on this one, I used to always kind of like side with Bret on this one, on that. But watching it back and hearing Bret bitch and complain about it, and then seeing Vince's side and then getting spit in the face, I'm like, wait a minute. Bret Hart's kind of a dick. You were leaving. Why not put Sean over, give him the title? Vince literally told you to, like, the part I didn't know is Vince sat him down and was like, look, here's every loophole in your contract. I'm literally going to lay it out. Take all of this to WCW and get your payday like Hogan and Macho Man and everyone else did. He hooked the boy up. And all he had to do was drop the title. He fucking acting like that. I don't know, man. So I got some feelings about it, but for the most part, I'm waiting for some bombshell Vince McMahon shit to drop. I was really excited for this documentary, and it's not delivered. This stuff I already know, man. And I'm not even in the weeds like you guys were, or are. You know what I mean? So if it's stuff I know, it's surface level. It's not delivering. So I don't know. Kind of disappointed in this episode. I fast forwarded through like half of it.
Shaggy, you had your hand up.
Yeah, to say, I believe the one stipulation Brett had was I'll lose it, just not in Canada.
Like, yeah, he didn't want to lose it.
Don't do it in Canada. If I can go to India, wherever, I'll lose it. That's fine, but
yeah, you know what? I don't care. That's and the other part that was news to me, being I guess I'm the youngest wrestling fan on here, was the curtain call. I didn't know about that. I don't know. My point in life, I missed that. But that was basically the death of kayfabe, and I'm kind of pissed about it, to be honest. Like, watching it now, and Undertaker's the only one who's like, "Nah, that shit was fucked up. They shouldn't have done that." And now seeing Solo Sikoa help a granny on an airplane, Jacob Fatu give his T-shirt to a crying little girl in the in the parking lot. I'm like, yeah, we need kayfabe back. That wrestling is suffering because we don't have kayfabe. We have baby faces. We have heels. A heel should be a heel on and off screen, period. Don't be the Wyatt Six and then go to the goddamn fucking Waffle House the next night.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I have feelings about it.
Bradford, it's all the stuff I've been talking about for a while. I mean, it's like, it's like the Lone Ranger shooting Indians back in the day, or bank robbers, and all of a sudden after they keep the camera roll so that he can help them up and say, look, we were just acting. It's so just don't pull that veil away. Just leave.
No.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Not don't a fan.
Him dugging and caught doing coke with Aaron Sheik in the back of a limo.
Yeah. Go back to those days. Steroids and cocaine.
It was a rental car.
Wrestling better.
Oh, my bad. Rental car. My bad.
I'm gonna go to Ed. Ed, thoughts on episode 3?
All right, look, I didn't watch it, but just bottom line, as I said, there's nothing that they're putting on this that's gonna be anything new, because they can't. They're going to court with this stuff. So the thing is they can't do it. So they're just repackaging it and everything like that into 6 episodes, and it's not gonna be anything anybody that has one toe into being a wrestling fan from the beginning of the beginning of the 80s, from the rise of the WWF, then to the WWE Attitude Era, and then all that stuff. I mean, it's nothing new. And to Ray's point, look, I mean, everybody that has money, they make things disappear. It's part of the game. You know, that's how they got to that point. You know,
politicians.
They even talked about the Jimmy Snuka thing for a minute. And then when they talked to Wendi Richter, the thing that I thought was funny was when she didn't know that the Spider Lady was Fabulous Moolah. You can't miss that build coming at you. most of the time that Spider Lady was in the WWE, I believe it was Judy Martin, and Judy Martin looks nothing like Fabulous Moolah. So I mean, screw job. The referee counted 3, and it was awful. I mean, that whole story is so bad. It's just bad all the way around. But they put Wendi Richter in the Hall of Fame because of Triple H, and kind of made amends with that. And I guess that's the the silver lining at the end of that story. But the question with Wendi Richter is, they wanted her sign a new deal, and she didn't agree to the money that they were offering her, and she thought she was the female Hulk Hogan. I can't agree with that. I mean, the type of merchandise and things that Hogan was doing back then, not even close.
Funny Fabulous Moolah every week.
How about how they buried Luger with the talking about him trying to replace Hogan, and they were like, he wasn't even close.
I mean, the hindsight with the story is always funny, because of they didn't talk to him either in this. I would have liked to have heard his side of it too, if they brought him in and promised him stuff, and he's still alive. That's a great person for that segment that they could have used. So
he's a shell of a human being, or what it used to be too.
Drugs
are bad, kids. Drugs
are bad. Yep. And the Elizabeth thing, which was the whole dark side of the ring. So, Thomas,
yep.
Let's segue away from the wrestling and get into some shitty picks.
All righty. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their vodka sodas, their beers, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whippy area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All I can say is this week here, I'm glad I took the game I did because I did win. I took Tennessee over Alabama, and I almost took Texas. I thought it was too easy, Texas over Georgia, and right now Georgia's laying a whooping on Texas. It's 23-0 at halftime. It might be time for Arch Manning to come in the game for Texas.
Arch Madness. Let's go.
But this coming week here, there's some more good games. There's number 19, Missouri versus Alabama. Illinois is playing Oregon. But the game I'm going with is LSU versus Texas A&M. It's number 8 versus number 9. I'm going to go with Texas A&M. I mean, they're so close. It's not really an upset, but I'm going with Texas A&M. They're playing at home, and they impressed me a couple weeks ago when they beat, I think it was Missouri, pretty handily. So that's who I'm going with this week.
Thomas, you want to talk about the NFL news before you get into the picks?
Yeah, there was a couple trades. I want to see what the guys thought, who they think made out between the two trades, who got the better of the wide receivers. It's Davante Adams got traded. Everybody knew he was going to go there, but he got traded to the Jets for, I think it was a conditional third round pick, which could go into a second round pick depending on his stats. And Amari Cooper got traded from Cleveland to the Buffalo. There was a couple of picks involved in that one as well. I think it was a third round pick Cleveland ended up getting, but they also gave Buffalo, I think, a sixth round pick. So I want to see what the guys thought about those deals.
Baggy.
I'll say, I think the Bills might be making out. I think Cooper would be a good pick. I see the Jets shit. It's a team that's falling apart with a guy who's a head case. Like, I don't see it working out too well. I know he's friends with Aaron Rodgers, but how far can that carry him?
Bradford?
The irony of Davante Adams getting traded from Green Bay to go play with the Raiders, to come back to the Jets to play with Aaron Rodgers. But I think that's a good move for him. I think it's a good move for Aaron Rodgers because his receivers have proven to be pretty unreliable, except for Alan Lazard. He really needs somebody to catch the ball. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a lot left, man. Like, he's shown that. But if they can't win with Davante Adams, I think the problem's bigger than just firing the coach. I think he's giving off some LeBron James vibes there in New York. Getting rid of staff and whatnot when it doesn't work out. But Amari Cooper, man, like, you want to talk about a consummate professional teammate, somebody who is there for his team, his teammates, for the organization. He is nothing but a consummate professional when it comes to his craft. He doesn't do the diva shit. He never starts trouble. He shows up to work. He works his 9-to-5. He does what he's asked to. And he's a great athlete, man. You never see emotion from him because he's reserved. That's not his personality type. He wasn't like that in Alabama. He's not like that in the pros. He shows up. He lets his game speak for him. He doesn't have to go speak to the media to get his points across. I love that they got a third-round pick, even though the Cowboys got screwed. It took a fifth-round pick for him. I think the Cowboys gave up on him way before, you know, because he's been a stud in Cleveland. But also kind of it points to what me and Ed talk about a lot. It's like these guys, you look at the life cycle and the shelf life of a pro NFL player, wide receivers, by all means, CeeDee Lamb and any other young receiver, hold out, get your payday. Because before you know it, you're traded to the fucking Raiders or to the Browns for a fifth round pick. And you're just yesterday's news, man. And before you know it, you're Ocho Cinco or T.O. playing in the UFL or Canadian Football League or Arena Football somewhere, still trying to pay your baby's mamas because you got a bunch of bills. So get your fucking payday, man. I'm not mad at him. I wish Amari Cooper excels. I hope Davante Adams shows out. You know, it's crazy NFL, and the Cowboys have signed nobody. So there's that.
Raymond, any thoughts on those trades?
None.
Good. I like that. Ed.
Oh, I mean, aren't the Jets such a dumpster fire? God, it's so fun to watch. It really is. It, like, you know that, you know it's gonna implode. Like, you fire your head coach, you know, who really is not the problem. And then, you know, you basically do what he wanted to do, and you know, you demote Nathaniel Hackett from being the OC, and then you bring in Devontae Adams. Like, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You know, the thing about it is just like, look, these guys are a commodity. Receivers are a commodity, 3.5 to 4 years maximum. If you can hang on to get that second contract, show me the money. I mean, the thing about it is just that, like, we all know the teams that, you know, that you go to, that it's so sad nowadays to see what the Raiders have become. The Browns have always been the Browns, and the Jets, other than the years with Parcells and with Ryan, I mean, they're a dumpster fire. And then Amari Cooper, I mean, I can't – he never said anything when he's with the Cowboys, never said anything with the Browns. And I bet you know he's sitting there thinking to himself, man, I can't believe that I get out of that place. And I'm so thankful because Deshaun Watson is handcuffed that club, the Browns, for the next 4 or 5 years, and they can't get out of it because they guaranteed him the money.
Phantom, want to weigh in on those trades?
Yeah. I think great moves for both teams, really. They didn't really give up much. I think it's huge for Josh Allen to get Cooper because they traded away Diggs. They thought they could get by with the young guys, and it really hasn't worked out. So that's a huge plus for them. You figure, what, they got like a two-game lead in the East? And then you look at the Jets, and it's like you got Adams, you got Wilson. Hall defense is really, really good. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, they could actually really go on a run. They don't really have any holes other than probably head coach, which is, huge. They should have put everything on its ear and grabbed Belichick back to fucking New York. That would have been great. But Adams going there. Yeah, I mean, he's still one of the best receivers in the league. I thought that Rodgers were going to do something with Wilson, but I think he's kind of struggling to connect a little bit with him. But
they may trade him now.
I think the Jets could make it close. I think they can push Buffalo as far as like Miami and the Pats. They're out of it, but should be a two team race for the rest of the season.
All right, Thomas, let's get into some picks.
One more thing on the whole with the Jets with Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know if you guys saw what they actually demoted him. His new job is writing the play cards out for the coaches for the game. They give him the plays and he has to write them and hand them out to all the coaches. But that just shows he's Rodgers' boy. So instead of firing him, keep Rodgers happy, they gave him a minuscule job. But hey, he's still getting paid. All right. You want to get into the picks, AC?
Yeah, let's get into the picks.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Thomas, before we start the picks, I'd like to know, what was the record for everybody last week?
We have to change somebody's name from the Mouth of the South to Mr. Perfect because our man Ed went 14-0 this past week. We all had good weeks, but he went 14-0.
See, let me go on record to say that everybody thinks we pick on Ed, and Ed had his towel out. He had a lousy week last week. He was ho-humming it on the podcast. And we got to give him his props this week. Went perfect for the week. First time ever. That's why Brad wants to shorten the picks, because he doesn't want to have Ed go another perfect week.
No, we picked the same amount, right? Like, we just sent Tom the rest of them. But maybe instead of going through how many games this week, Tom?
15.
That's a lot. And seven people, that's a lot. That's all I'm saying.
I think somebody just wants more time for their conspiracy, but that's okay.
Yeah, one more screen time.
Wait. And there is a conspiracy there.
Yes.
That's the conspiracy.
So we're going to go with 5 games this week. Ray, if you're more than welcome, if you want to make picks, we don't do point spreads. We just pick a winner of the game. I don't know how big of an NFL guy you are. I know you're a hockey guy. Yeah. But it's up to you. I'll go with game one, Cincinnati Bengals at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy.
How am I doing so far on these picks?
You are in second place. You're tied with Ed. Brad is 62-30. Ed and Andy are both 60-32.
Am I in first? No,
you're 2 games out. Oh, yeah, you are. I'm sorry, you are in first.
All right, the rest of the rankings don't matter, boy. We only care about the number one.
And then it's Ryan and myself. We're both 55 and 37, and Shaggy's 46 and 30, but he's missed a couple weeks.
In 1 week.
1 week. I'm sorry.
Give me a little credit.
Very little. But
hey, birthday boy. I mean, you know, you want to get smacked 49 times?
All right. AC, Cincinnati, and Philly.
I will take Susanna Hoff's favorite team, the Cincinnati Bengals.
All righty. Shaggy.
Give me a cheesesteak.
All righty. Brad?
I'm going to pick Cincinnati, not because Andy did, but because I think
there's some gamesmanship going on over here.
I think there's a real possibility that they're on the up and Philly's on the down. So listen, I'm going to pick Cincinnati.
I'm not one of these betting guys like some of these MFs on this thing, but I got to call bullshit because this fucking guy is in first place. All of a sudden, now he doesn't want to do the picks. We've been doing it all last year. I'm just cycling him along and he's still threatened.
All right, do all 15 picks then. Do all 15.
No.
We'll sit here for an hour and a half, 2 hours, going through 7 guys and 15 games.
Do I get credit for their 10 games I didn't pick on this thing?
Just send it to me.
No fucking homework.
Hey, we still got to pick the other 10 games. We're only doing 5.
Do homework?
The other 10 still got to be sent to Tom.
Wait, Brad, I'm with you.
Wait, this is when Ed should say, Brad, stop being a bitch.
All right, Ray.
Adam said he's with me, Philly. So y'all can suck.
I'm going with
it.
Philly.
All righty. Mr. Branko.
Give me the Eagles.
All righty. Ed?
Philly's pretty close to start a dumpster fire, but I'm going to go with Philly anyway.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw after the game the other day, but Nick Sirianni got into it with the fans after the game. So I think the pressure's starting to get to him in Philly. But I'm going with Philly in this game because Cincinnati's defense is horrible. Next game, I'm going to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Atlanta Falcons. Andy.
I'm going to do damage control with Brad, and I'm going to pick Tampon Bay.
All right. Shaggy.
You don't want to go to Brad first? We can piggyback him?
Next game, I'm going to pick Brad first before Andy.
I'll take Atlanta.
Okay. Brad.
All right.
I'm not picking them because Andy picked them. They're playing at home. They're both 4-2. This is going to be probably one of the best games of the week. I'm going with Tampon Bay, but not because Andy did.
Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you why it takes so long to do these picks, because Brad has to give like the back of a freaking menu of why he's making his pick. He just can't say Tampon Bay.
I can't. I got Shaggy over here doing this on the camera.
Hey, don't blame me.
Say the name and roll on. I have to explain it.
Hey, let's fucking go. We're from the north. Make it fast.
All right, non-verbals over here. He's doing all this. I can't just – come on, man.
Ray, who you got, Tampa Bay or Atlanta?
Tampa. Going with Tampa.
All right. Ryan?
I got sidetracked by Brad. I forgot who's playing.
Tampa Bay and Atlanta.
give me hot Atlanta.
All righty. Ed?
605 on TBS, please.
Alrighty.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, seriously.
1973 podcast, motherfucker. You got to
know. What the fuck is 605?
Is this a 1982 podcast?
What does 605 mean?
I see 605
TBS. It's called Atlanta, bro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm going with Tampa Bay in that game, too. I mean, it's funny how that schedule works. I think these guys played like 2 weeks ago, and they're already playing each other again.
Brad, your excuse for making a comment, Shaggy, I'm really disappointed in you, man. You should know better than that.
I should know the Atlanta fucking area code.
It's the time the WCW used to go on TBS, man. You should know better than that.
Shaggy is turned all the way up.
You know this.
All right, third game. Seattle Seahawks versus the Buffalo Bills in Seattle. Andy. Oh, no, don't pick. Brad. Your pick.
Oh, my pick.
That's right.
The fuck, Fitty?
Are those Zumbas?
Going with Buffalo.
All righty. Andy.
Well, just because I'm not doing it because Brad picked it, but I say I'm going to go with Buffalo.
First of all, that sounds just like me.
Jaggy.
Well, let me draw this out a little longer so I can fit in other people here. And I guess I'll go with Seattle.
What? You didn't draw it out at all.
All right.
I'm going to go with the Bills.
All righty. Phantom?
Yeah, I'm going Buffalo.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with Buffalo. And also, Shaggy, for the record, the area code for Atlanta is 404.
I'm going with Buffalo as well. I think they're going to go on a roll now with Cooper in there. Next game could be a really good game. Washington Commanders at home against the Chicago Bears. Brad?
Oh, Washington, 100%.
All righty. Andy?
Just like Brad, I'm going Commando.
All righty. Shaggy?
Redskins. Why do you know fucking Atlanta's area code?
Shaggy. Holy shit.
All righty. Phantom?
Because I live pretty close to it. That's why.
I'm going to go Bears. I think they got a better D.
Yep. All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Commanders.
All right. I'm going to go with Chicago in this game. I agree with Ryan. I think their defense is a little better. Next game, the final game. And just for Brad, I'm picking Dallas's game.
No.
San Francisco no. 49ers at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Brad.
Why are you making me do this, man? Belt.
Because I didn't even have the top five games.
Why are you making me do this, Tom?
Because I want to hear it.
Come on, Brad, do it.
I want to maintain my lead. I'm going to say San Francisco, man. The Cowboys are an absolute shit show right now, and I cannot support this bullshit anymore. I can't fucking do it, man. Can't do it.
Andy?
I will take Rob Halford's favorite football team, the 49ers.
All righty. Shaggy?
I will take Dwight Clark and the catch, 49ers.
That hurts, buddy.
Ray?
I got to go with the 49ers.
All righty. Phantom?
How far back am I?
Six games.
Six games, I'll fuck that, 49ers.
We've turned them all. All the Cowboys fans have turned.
Ed?
49ers.
Yeah, clean sweep for the panel. I'm going with 49ers as well. So, AC, that's it.
So, before we wrap up the sports talk, I want to talk about the passing of Louis Tiant for you Red Sox fans out there. Shaggy rocking the Louis Tiant shirt. I'm going to go to the professor, and I want to hear thoughts on the passing of Louis Tiant.
It's a big loss, and not only on the for him when he played, because he was a good player, but anyone that's ever been to a Red Sox game knows he's there every game. He's just so personable. I have a picture with him, and he has a restaurant. I haven't been to a game in a couple of years, but he used to have a restaurant right there at Fenway as well. But he sort of reminded me of, I mean, he was better than Johnny Pesky, don't get me wrong, but he was like an ambassador for the team ever since he left. I mean, he was always at the games and always there, but I mean, he won the ERA title a couple of times. He was a great, great player. It's a sad thing because, I mean, you don't want to see anyone. He seemed like he was in good health every time I ever saw him, but I mean, he was willing to do anything for the team. He was there every year at the fantasy camp. I have a friend of mine who goes every year and plays at the Red Sox fantasy camp with the Red Sox, and Tiant, he has a picture of smoking cigars with Louis Tiant outside of the stadium. And he was just said he was such a nice guy. How it seemed.
Raymond, thoughts as a kid on Louis Tiant?
just like what Tom was saying, he was always at the games. He was always involved. He always waved the Red Sox flag. You know, he and said another hero from our childhood is gone.
Yeah. It seems like it's happening more and more when we talk about it on the podcast.
A couple of weeks ago, there was, six in like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It just kept rolling over and off of another. Sad, but.
Shaggy, thoughts on Louis Tiant?
Mr. Tiant was a great gentleman. Eddie and I went to college with his son, Danny. Great kid, great family. Really hard to miss him. It's a hard thing for the Sox family. Like, he was a great guy.
Mm.
Ed, thoughts on the passing of Louis Tiant?
I'm just going to echo what Shaggy said. I mean, you know, and what everybody else has said, just, you know, always seemed to be kind of like the epitome of what baseball players should be for the team that they retired from or who they played the most. You know, he kind of reminded me of like Milt Schmidt with the Bruins, just always kind of just like, hey, thanks for coming. You know, welcome back. You're welcome here. You know, like just being a great team ambassador, you know, and it's just, you know, I mean, he was 83 when he passed away. It's, you know, I mean, everybody's getting to be to that point, you know, where, you know, 83, that's a good life to say the least, you know? So Red Sox Nation. Always remember him, you know, always having that aura down in Fenway, especially when I was working, you know, all those liquor promotions down in that area back in the day. And, you know, always like, you know, there was always some sort of presence down there. So he'll be greatly missed for sure.
Frankowitz, thoughts on the passing of Louis Tiant?
Is this the 1973 podcast or the 1963 podcast? When Oil Can Boy dies, then I'm ready to talk. Louis Tiant, rest in peace. I don't really remember him as a player too much. I just know the name.
I think that's a great point. Great point. I can't disagree with that at all. I recall one of Louis Tiant's shining moments was striking out Pete Rose in one of the playoff games from the 76?
75!
Yep.
2 years old, Brad. You don't even have to go. It's all right.
Yep. Oh, hey, we just gave more time for some picks right there. And I have a bet.
Yep. Just, Brad, just keep buying shirts and we'll just keep reading your lines. So, speaking of Bradford, we're going to switch it. One of our favorite segments. He's going to edumacate the people up north from somewhere in a remote location. He doesn't like to divulge his location. He's from parts unknown in a bunker deep in the darkest parts of Africa. Bradford, we're going to do the lead in, Tom, or what?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you, brother.
I'm getting sidetracked with the comedy. You're going to have to
excuse me. Drink this.
Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you this week by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark, available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21. Take it away, Brad.
Boom. Did you turn on screen share?
Yep. You should be good to go there, Holmes.
Okay. It's just real quick because... boom. Let's click that. All right, cool. Can y'all see all of this?
Just getting real.
Yep.
Yes. So real. So if you go and Google Devon Island and just type that in, don't even type in anything extra, nothing about NASA or any space exploration. Just type in Devon Island, and these are the photos that come up because some really computer savvy people have found out they've used Google Earth and some other, technology that NASA has basically been sharing their photos. They do training missions in Devon Island. It is a remote island somewhere up in Canada, right? And they go there and they train their astronauts and then they put a red filter over them. And they share it to the public as if we've been to fucking Mars. I'm just going to throw this out. We haven't even been to the moon since 1970 something, like 76, I think. Supposedly. Do you think we're landing astronauts on Mars or even these rovers? Look at this thing. Do y'all see this? I don't know. This, it looks like a bus for Mars. Do you think we're landing that somewhere and driving it? No, we're spending taxpayer money to develop all these cool little gadgets to go explore Mars, and all NASA can show us, look at this guy. There's an astronaut standing next to this robot thing, and they just put a red filter over it and say we went there. I'm starting to feel like we've never been to Mars, man. Just going to throw that out there. And there's even some evidence of this guy me and Andy follow on TikTok. He said, when you look at Mars through a regular telescope, it looks like you're looking at a light bulb or something through water. It don't even look like a planet. It looks like you're looking through the firmament at a light bulb. Pretty convincing stuff, man. Like, every one of these photos that NASA has shared of them being on Mars, people have gone and found the same location on Devon Island. So look at this moon truck, bro. We paid our taxes and paid for this thing, guys. We're not driving this on the moon or on Mars. Let's be honest. So that's my conspiracy this week. Pretty wacky stuff. We're basically funding our own deception. You know, Tom, what do you think?
I did a little research this afternoon when I found out what you were talking about, and I actually have to agree with you on this one. I think it does look a little fishy with everything that I saw. But I'm not typing anything in because I don't want to end up on any government lists.
I'm already on the list.
Oh, I know. I've already talked to somebody about you. I mean, I don't want to say point. I sold you out, but they offered something you? I couldn't refuse.
Was it from Wales somebody in the email?
What? The FBI came to your house?
No.
Oh.
Dodge the bullet. I bet on drive, Brad.
Bro, since we started this podcast, I've had some questionable searches. I'm on the FBI's list, 100%.
I want to ask Ray, because we've talked about this before when I've talked to Ray about conspiracy theories. Ray, thoughts on not just what Brad was talking about, but as a whole, your first time being on the podcast, thoughts on your views of conspiracy theories, what we grew up being taught versus what your thoughts are now?
Well, what conspiracy theories? I mean, there's a zillion of them. You know, it's like growing up, the biggest one was the JFK assassination. You know, I still believe that there was more than one shooter. You know, Sirhan, that's an open and shut one to myself, because it's because Sirhan's gun held 8 bullets. They removed 12 bullets from RFK, the wall, the door jams, and everything. And the kill shot was within 2 inches of the back of his head. Sirhan was never behind her. He was always in front of him. The head of the security for RFK that day was Rosie Greer, the old football player. Remember him?
Yep.
And I mean, that assassination brought in to the Secret Service protect the nominee for the Democrat. That's when it started. It was there. But yeah, that to me is the most open to shut one, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've talked about.
But as far as the stuff that he just showed, that's the first time I'm seeing that. You know, but some of those buggies that he showed, I wouldn't go across Shaw's parking lot on a foggy day.
Hey, a funny thing is it's the search for knowledge, I guess, lifting the veil for like-minded individuals to try to, put the pieces together of all the stuff that I will give it to TikTok. There are some people on there that have, I don't know where they came from or what, but they have some stuff that I just, it's mind blowing. the whole reset with mud floods and all this other stuff that has come out over the last, like, since COVID. It's like crazy, the stuff that's come out of COVID with conspiracy theories, not the COVID itself. I'm saying that all this time, free time that people had, it seemed like there was a large chunk of people that did super deep dives into like rabbit holes on the internet to come up with these things and kind of point fingers at different things for people to go, hey, you know, if you like that, check this out. If you like that, check this out. And it like kind of intertwines how, you know, all the things from the Rockefeller theory to all kinds of things. So we've only been doing the tinfoil hat probably like the last, how many episodes, Brad? Like maybe the last 20 episodes, 15 episodes. And it's kind of
something like that.
Yeah, it's caught.
Pretty
it's
recent.
Caught, yeah, it's caught fire. I mean, a lot of people like to watch it and you know, interested in it. A lot of the comments are based on the conspiracy theories that we've talked about too. So
aliens, UFOs.
Oh, we could get into it. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, just some of these things that are presented. So we're about at the hour mark, fellas. Unless Bradford wants to add anything this week, you guys want to wrap it up for another one?
Well, I just want to say I haven't been like deep in the weeds on the RFK assassination. I've done my share of research for JFK. So I don't know, maybe next week, man, I might dive a little deeper into that one just for my own, my own essays, just cause I want to see what that one's about.
Yeah. So, maybe, Ray, lit a fire with something. Maybe we can discuss that next week, for a tinfoil hat and bring it. Ray, now you got to come on next week and talk RFK.
Definitely. Yeah. I will be here.
He comes on and hijacks the whole segment.
What happened? What, Ray stayed pretty much chill the whole, and then at the end, give him the ball, and he all of a sudden he's breaking backboards like Dominic Wilkins.
Yep.
yeah. And he gets teeth like Manute Bol.
Hey, rest in peace.
Yeah. He did play hockey for that 12 seconds, remember?
Yep. That's true. He did. So, shout outs this week. We're going to start with Thomas. What do you got?
I don't have much, but I'll give a shout out to my guinea pig, Piggy Smalls, because he had a tough week. He jumped out of my arms the other day and I caught him. But when I caught him, he like panicked and he hit his claw. He ripped a claw off of his paw, and it was a bloodbath. It was pretty bad. But, he made it through it. He's fine. And he's a tough bastard. Didn't have to go to the doctors because nothing was open. So he had to suck it up with some cornstarch, pack it in with some cornstarch, and he was fine.
Mm.
Tom, did you give him a towel like Hell in the Cell?
Big X mark on the screen. We went old school. This is 1973 podcast. We did the X on the screen.
Jackie, I saw you looking to jump in. You're next to the shout outs.
Cornstarch, you fucking fry them up and eat them? What the fuck you talking?
Whoa.
I heard the delicacy in Mississippi.
Oh, no.
No, yeah, my shout out is me. What about me? What about Raven, the birthday boy?
There he goes again.
Just kidding. I want to thank my wife and kids and family hanging out with me today. That's all.
well, mic drop. Raymond, in the center square, like Paul Lind, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, Paul Lind.
Shout out this week. Any way you want to say hi to all the guys down at work?
All the guys down at work, of course, yeah. Mo with his underwater specialists, you know. Palm out, baby. Palm out.
Palm out all the way, baby.
And what do you got this week?
First and foremost, I'd like to say happy birthday to my former roommate in college, Mike. Happy birthday. One more year. And then also like to wish a happy birthday to my nephew, Will. Happy birthday, little man.
I'm going to take the shout out and I'm going to give a shout out to the Phantom. I'm going to tell you why. Here's a guy. Showed up to support my kid, watched her score a hat trick this afternoon. And I just want to say thanks for showing up. That's more than a lot of people do. So thank you. Come again.
I mean,
Bradford.
I'm so excited to see a hat trick from a person with a clock on the back of the shirt. I didn't know what to do.
Well, it happens a lot, so at least somebody gets them. So
I was gonna pick on Ed, but I figured I'd pick on you, so I don't know, pile on.
Wait a minute, I can take it.
Story. I didn't say I can take. I didn't say I couldn't take it.
Oh, Ed can take it.
Take it.
He can take it.
Take it. I think we should all shout out Shaggy's liver.
Bro,
Bradford, shout out.
First of all, Shaggy drank 75% of a whole bottle of bourbon in like an hour. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. So happy birthday. Drink the rest of it. What happens tomorrow happens. Tomorrow comes regardless. Drink the rest of it. But I also want to shout out, the Phantom sent me a little, it was funny, it was an Instagram thing about baseball dads, but it made me just think, like, man, sports dads in general, shout out to you guys. It is like having a part-time freaking job. I spend more time at the ball fields than I care to admit. And we got soccer starting on top of baseball. You guys have hockey, football, so on. Man. Round of applause for the sports dads, because that is tough business, dude. You're so I get it, man. Like, I get off work and I'm like, I'm freaking tired, but we got hitting lessons, we got practice, we got this, I somehow signed myself up to be the assistant coach for soccer. I don't know dick about soccer, but they needed a coach or we couldn't play, so I signed up. And you know what, man, I'm here for the ride. Like, who cares, dude? It's for the kids and give them something. So we're going to do it. And that's what it's about. So shout out to the sports dads. You guys fucking kick ass, man.
We know this. So we're going to close it out with the Phantom. Phantom, I don't want to hear anything about any alleged fights. Anything that was in the newspaper. I don't want to hear anything about that. Take it away.
I mean... I like to thank Ray for coming on. I was surprised to see Ray here today.
So was Ray. I mean,
round of applause for Ray.
We definitely needed to work some hockey into this. We don't want to talk about Ray Bourque. We're here to talk about Ray Tatro. Ray, yeah. Right? I see the picture in the background. You turn that thing around. put the first communion up there like a good Portuguese and we'll party on.
Portuguese.
Hey, Brad, you know what a Portuguese is?
What?
You know what a Portuguese is?
Oh, no.
No Portuguese in Mississippi?
Not at all.
Where's Chris? We need to bring Chris back.
Where's Chris been?
The Portuguese brethren.
Where's Chris been? That's the question. We used to have who is the Phantom. We need a who is Chris. We need to flip it.
That is the Phantom sequel.
Yeah.
I think Ray just hung that picture because he know that that's Tom's boy. The Pope. So,
yep.
Ray, I want to say thanks for coming on. Hopefully it's more.
Thanks for having me. I'll be back to talk conspiracy and hockey.
All right, man. So we're going to wrap this up. So I believe that's what, how many episodes in the book, Thomas?
88.
Nice.
Lindros.
Ready?
Pasternak.
And she's, no, you're not doing it. No Stairway to Heaven at the end? Boy, you guys suck.